What is a fatal convenience? The corporations who make money from us don't have our best interests in mind. Do you have beef with plant-based meat?
What are three big levers that we can pull in order to kind of reverse the damage?
Well, thank you for being here. It's so
good to sweat with you.
So happy to see you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for being in this crazy idea, sauna sessions. You said you just finished a sauna.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Trained with some guys, and then we had not an infrared, but a...
Okay, the dry.
Dry, yeah. Sauna, so I'm shaking it up.
Yeah. Switch it up.
Yeah.
So you are a, man, you got so many titles. You're an incredible, I'd say, just human being. You're a nutritionist. You're an author. The host of Down to Earth with Zac Efron. You're a superfood hunter. And I think just a student of life. Mm. Like when I look at your stuff, when I read your work, it's like you're trying to solve a lot of the problems that we face on the planet.
100%. I got a book for you too and a bunch of Barooka nuts. So
I was going to ask you about Barooka nuts because I've never had these. I'm like, what the heck is that?
You're going to flip out.
Okay.
It's a wild food.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. Well, your other book, Fatal Conveniences.
That's the one.
What is a fatal convenience?
It's becoming aware of the things that we're doing in our normal life that we wouldn't normally think is dangerous, but quite possibly how they were created, whether it be a deodorant, a shampoo, even our clothing, mostly made up of petroleums and PFAS and phthalates and parabens from cosmetics and all of that stuff. It was this fragrances, flavorings. Mm. Ultra-processed, hyper-processed foods, all of that stuff. It's kind of shaking society up in a way. Like, we have to become aware of this because it's a war on us in a certain sense, and it's undermining the very fabric of our existence moving forward. And you can show that through endocrine disruption, sperm counts going down, testosterone plummeting. So our comforting world has some edges to it, and it's hurting us. So regardless of what you believe or not, these things are affecting us today. My hope is that we become aware of this and have more agency over these things that are undermining our health. And my book was inspired by my father, who suffered chemical sensitivity in the 90s.
Okay.
So he was affected by fragrances and off-gassing of t-shirts, and so he was hyper sensitive to all that stuff.
Was he born with this?
He developed it later in his life, and he was one of the keepers of the dragon during the Cuban Missile Crisis in the Navy. Okay. So he was on the aircraft carrier, and the keeper of the dragon was one of the few handful of guys that had to prepare the atomic bombs. All that radiation affected his thyroid, destroyed his thyroid, and you know, it's one of the master glands. So your immune system, your ability to deal with certain stressors and regulation of many of the body processes are affected by thyroid. So later in life, it was just kind of like the cup spilleth over. He started telling me about this stuff, and I thought he was crazy, right? And then just to be around him, I had to use all these unscented products that he would send me because I was in college at the time. And so then I was like, wait, what's going on? Huh. And then, you know, maybe 5-7 years later, I ran into this guy, first research talking about electromagnetic fields and how detrimental they couldn't be and probably are with our electrical system.
We are batteries,
and then the RNA and DNA are not just a chemical signal, they're electrical signals. So the disruption of man-made polarized frequencies, these things have been running in my life alongside, you know, let's get the greatest superfoods, let's all of it, really, to say I want people just to thrive and just kick some ass so that they can have the dreams that they want to materialize in the world. That's what sparked, you know, superfood hunting. Let's get the greatest foods in that is possible and to as many people as possible. And let's learn from the indigenous people that have been using it for tens of thousands of years. That was the innocence of starting that whole journey. And then now realizing the elephants in the room of these man-made and clearly not looking out for us with profits and power dominating this health and safety of us.
So you're telling me that the corporations who make money from us don't have our best interests in mind?
It seems to me that that's the case.
Huh.
I leave these up to questions in the book, right? Mm. Because I'm staring at this stuff going, okay, well, if the FDA knows about PFAS, and this is a forever chemical, and just sit on that for a second. It's a forever chemical from the derivative of Teflon. Mm. Teflon is a DuPont manufactured heat resistant, slippery surface that is very good at its job. Mm. And now it's layered in packaging food, in processed food. It's now ended up in our waterways. Wow. Over half of the country is exposed to PFAS just from their tap water.
Oh my God.
Right? So that's a forever chemical, and it bioaccumulates in your body and in the environment.
What's a forever chemical?
So a forever chemical is one that does not break down. So if you have like a example of chemicals that can break down, parabens, phthalates, it's a great book. Dr. Shanna Swan, I interviewed for the podcast. She's got a book called Countdown. And she also lays out that these half-lives in the body, the parabens and the phthalates, which are wildly endocrine disrupting and detrimental and probable carcinogens, but they do break down over a period of time. The problem is we keep slathering ourselves with this stuff and reinfecting ourselves. The PFAS, which is a classification derivative of Teflon, which is about 9 to 12,000 classifications of PFAS permeated throughout our environment, right? In all different things, from a beautiful tight shirt that doesn't wrinkle and doesn't stain or stain resistant to our couch, to leather products, to, like I said, largely processed food wrapping. So it doesn't inconveniently stick to the packaging, all of this stuff in a whole, and even women using, you know, mascara and lipstick that doesn't wipe off.
Mm.
All of that is PFAS.
Wow.
Right? So that PFAS then is accumulating. So the forever chemical, perfect example of that, and I use this often, is a bioaccumulator forever chemical like DDT. So it was a pesticide that we used in the 60s, 70s.
Yep.
They banned it in 1972. Guess what's in the blood of most of us today still? DDT. So it's still in our environment. Wow. It's still in the waterways. Wow. It's still in our food system. This is the experiment that we've failed at. These agencies haven't been allowing us or haven't put, it's not allowing us, they haven't created the regulation to prove that the product is safe first before they put it in the market.
Wow.
They put it in the market.
Oh my gosh.
And then if there's overwhelming evidence to show that it's dangerous, they will maybe start to take it out. But then companies will say, yeah, we're going to take this out by 2025, 2027. And then largely no one's actually, they use the headlines and no one's actually, you know, holding them to the fire to do that. So it's a game that the tobacco industry used to use, going, yeah, we're going to do something about it. Or yes, it needs more testing. Mm-hmm. And then years, decades go by and it's still around us. It's still in us. And this is the danger, right? Yeah. And so, you know, fatal conveniences show up in a lot of different ways from plastics that we're using and everything. And that's petroleum. And then a bunch of plasticizers that allow plastic to do it. And then you layer PFAS over plastics. So, it's uncomfortable to realize that, and most people just want to turn this off. They want to turn off this reality. You know, as well as that, you've been around. And so there's no amount of pretending something doesn't exist that actually does anything other than leaving you in a delusion and then still having you being affected by the very thing. And you call that emotional too. If you don't want to deal with an emotional hurt and you bury that, Well, that's going to have pleomorphic effect on your biology, your life, your, if you're living in fear and resentment and pain and shame and all of that stuff. For me, it's the same thing of not us not having this conversation about these agencies that are not regulating these things in an effective way. So yeah, it's gnarly.
I want to touch on that, the regulations and the corporations, because what you're saying is sad to me, because you know, I'm really like kind of in shock just when I look into the, it's a deep disconnect that I'd say corporations, but really they're people. There is no such thing as a corporation. It's individuals, it's people. But to continue to choose profit above people is truly sad. And I feel like only when you have a shift in consciousness will these things get better. Seems to me like that ground, that fundamental change of our consciousness, of realizing that we are not apart from nature. We are nature and we are each other. We are one. Every spiritual text, the highest teaching is we are one, is oneness. So I feel only until we recognize that will these things change. But you're doing a great job in educating and showing awareness to what's going on, because there's some things that you said in your book that I had no idea, you know, from floss to, I mean, I don't use deodorant too much because I know, you know, you put something under your arms, the lymph, it goes to the bloodstream. So I rarely use deodorant, and the deodorant I do use has very few things in it, product ingredients that I can actually pronounce. But you kind of put me on game in the fact that now I have to look at the ingredient list on everything.
They have all these loopholes, right?
Yeah.
So they don't even have to disclose what's in the fragrance, and that could be up to 100 plus different ingredients that they don't have to disclose, and they say that, well, that's our proprietary blend.
Oh my God.
And so then it's a loophole. And you know, there's been some studies I cited in the book that up to half to three quarters of those can be either an endocrine disruptor or probable carcinogen. And they're not on the label.
Well, how do we know? Well, how does somebody listening to this and find out what the heck is actually in the stuff that they're using?
Fortunately, it takes a lot of work, right? And I've tried to, the last third of my book is all solutions that we tried to do our very best vetting. But there's also a lot of cheap, easy,
that's it,
DIY stuff, right? That you can use, and like you can make your own deodorant and then make it once and it'll last it for months. Like make it with your children, show them how to do that. Like empower, make it fun, right? And the people that don't want to do that, there's some solid products, and maybe they are a little more expensive, maybe. And
how expensive is your health?
Exactly. So save up a little bit more and start to use these other things, because it, like, as you said, if it's on your skin, it's in your body. So don't throw it up in the air going, well, this is just what I've used. Just what you used has never had your best interest. As anything in life, this is about taking our agency back. Right? So like, I didn't want to write this book. I didn't want to have to, but I had to, right? I had to, because it was this elephant in the room that my father suffered in, that, okay, I'm spending all this time trying to promote health in this way, but this big, big elephant in the room of humanity is upside down and sideways, because, you know, 60% of the adults, and I think that's conservative, 60% of the calories that we're consuming as Americans are from ultra processed, created, no food food, right? It's and
food like products.
Food like products that are built on hyper palatability to get you to consume more. And research shows calorie to calorie, if you have whole food and you have ultra processed food, exactly the same caloric intake, you will gain weight eating ultra processed food.
Why is that?
It undermines the very fabric of our metabolism. So it turns on LDL. It slows down our metabolism. It, you know, our body is built on picking, you know, then it goes into taste. our receptors, our taste receptors, our olfactory receptors are picking up, and we've been hijacked, right? Mm-hmm. So things, salt, sugar, taste profiles, manufactured flavoring systems are all to hijack our most primal selection process. So when we smell whole food, we're picking up on 20,000 plus different chemicals that are in a whole food, right? And then you know what to do. But we've been hijacked to smell and taste. And we are also showing that as women who are pregnant, that can be affecting the fetus as well by what they are consuming, right?
Yeah, there was an umbilical cord study that you talked about.
So not to mention just by what they're eating, it's also the things that they're exposed to. So the lotions they're putting on, the makeup they're using, the shampoo that they're using, the perfumes they're using. We used to think, whoever thought of this from the American Medical Association, they're like, no, no, the child is always fine. It would never, no bad thing, no smoke, no alcohol would pass the placental barrier.
Wow.
And that is absolutely not true. Yeah. And so we're showing hundreds of these chemicals passing that on to the unborn child. And that being said, we're all born into this. Literally. So this is a system that is impressed upon us. You know, seeing where you're from, Missouri, food deserts like crazy. What is a food desert? It is geographic areas where a lot of people live that don't have access to any whole food.
Yeah.
But there's infinitely more processed foods, 7-Elevens, Coca-Cola. People don't even know what a freaking real avocado looks like.
Wow.
Right? Mm. It's crazy. There's thousands of those in the United States. Is that a coincidence, or is that then another expression of profits and power over the agency? And they're subsidized. Taxpayer money are going to these corporations. To your point, people run those corporations, making conscious choice of those, right? So now we're subsidizing horrible food-like things rather than, why don't we subsidize lawns into food forests? Why don't we subsidize seeds into ground? Why don't we subsidize programs of children getting dirty? Every child wants to put their hands in the dirt and watch a freaking fruit grow. There's no reason for any of that stuff, because our innate intelligence of a fresh picked strawberry is communicating to us in ways that we have no idea, in a beneficial way.
Wow.
Compared to this hijacking that, you know, becomes, you know, why only 2.6% of Americans are deemed healthy.
2.6% are deemed healthy.
Yeah.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Wow.
In the United States. So what is that? That's a product of degeneration.
Wow.
That keeps people linked to, we've got a pill for that. And then that's, so, you know, listen, we gotta open up. We gotta jump out of here.
We'll open up soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we go, I wanted to talk about, okay, so you've hunted superfoods.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you talk about these fatal conveniences, tell me, like, maybe three superfoods that can fortify us, that can kind of protect. I mean, there's nothing better than a diet, you know, what you do consistently.
Yeah.
But are there any shortcuts, but things that are nutrient dense that we can take that can protect us from these fatal conveniences?
Yeah, let me answer that in a couple different ways.
Okay.
Because I could go exotic. But then people don't have access to some of that stuff.
Right.
We can talk about durian and moringa and spirulina and all this stuff. But we can also talk about turmeric, right? You can add that to smoothies, and it's neuro-beneficial. It's anti-inflammatory. It's been used for 20,000 years in Ayurveda. Garlic, onion, all of these things. And then you can go, like, listen, a biodynamic, regenerative, permaculture-rich apple, right? It's got 300 compounds in it. eat the seeds. Every fruit, eat the seed. Okay. Right? So
that's a good one. Eat the seed.
Yeah. Buy the best you can from a farmer's market. Grow your own. That's the superfood, because it's also like, how is the soil nourishing you? And so I would start very basic with buy the best you can and wash everything.
Yes.
And if you can grow it, grow it. If you have a windowsill, grow some culinary herbs, right? That you can throw into your salads, and you can pick, you can bake with and make stews with and whatever. But if you have any land, start growing food. And then from there, you can, you know, ginger, turmeric, and one of my favorites, and you can grow it maybe in California. I have a little bit, but certainly Florida, I can grow moringa. And that's the, and that's, you know, I spent a lot of time in probably six countries studying moringa. And moringa's, in, you'll love this. So in West Africa, I was in the middle of this farm, and I was, we were looking at moringa. And I'm hearing through many, they call moringa molungai in Cambodia and Philippines. And so I'm here. So now I'm in West Africa. I'm working with some guys because moringa blows up in Western Africa. So we're trying to spur some of that stuff and trying to get some economy going. And one of the old guys goes, yeah, it's Nevadai. I was like, what? I said, I haven't heard that term before. He goes, yeah, it's Nevadai. It's a Nevadai tree. I said, what are you saying? Goes, never die. You never die if you eat it, because it's a vitamin tree. It's got 36 antioxidants. It's got 10 times more potassium than a than a banana.
Would you need a multivitamin if you take a moringa, or is it nature's multivitamin?
It's nature's. Always try to get your micronutrients from whole food. Always. But, you know, we're in a weird world. So, you have to potentially supplement. But also, like, if you can, get some blood work done. Go food first and then start to supplement. Like, you know, things like chaga mushrooms. It's not something you're eating. It's something you can buy. You can get a dual extracted one, or you can buy whole chaga, chop it up, put it on a stove, extract it through hot water, and have chaga tea every morning. It's one of the greatest antioxidants on the planet.
Wow.
Right?
You named your dog after it.
And I named my dog after it. Yeah. Exactly.
Amazing.
Because it had the coloring. Chaga has the same coloring as a wild chaga. So... yeah, there's a lot you can do. So I don't want to overwhelm people with you need to have some exotic food. You want to choose locally sourced as much as possible. Beautiful. And if you can reach out your own window and eat your own food, that is,
that's ideal.
There is nothing more powerful and sovereign around that. And we have 47 million acres of lawn that we water for no reason other than an idea. And a cultural flip, why not take at least half of it and grow food? You've already got the sprinkler systems. You're already hyper concerned that it's not going to dry out. Well, grow food, man. Right?
That's it. Speaking of sprinkler systems and hydration, I'm ready to get some some spring water, some coconut water. Let's get out of this hot box. And get hydrated. And I want to talk to you about hydration too, because I know that's an important part of your work.
Big time.
Let's do it. David Burns, who's like the father of cognitive behavioral therapy, he wrote a book called Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy. And this book is, I don't know if you're familiar with this one, but it's incredible. It came out in the 80s. It basically transformed therapy. People just by reading the book lifted their depression within 4 weeks, created its own genre of psychotherapy called bibliotherapy. And anyway, he was telling a story about this other guy, Albert Ellis. And apparently Wayne Dyer, according to him, took a lot of Albert Ellis's stuff and didn't give him any credit. Because he was attending his seminars and all this, and he made millions of dollars off this book, The Erogenous Zones or something like that. You know, bring it all back to the conversation of just the ego. And when Albert Ellis was asked about how he felt about Dyer taking his work, and this story is according to David Burns, Albert Ellis, he said, you know, well, I'm just glad it's getting out there to more people.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about really walking the talk and living it.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Stuff.
And I'm sure he had to process himself through the initially hearing that. And is it anybody's?
That's it. That's the highest understanding right
is
there.
Is it really? I mean, because it's like, what? I mean, where is it coming from? Mm-hmm. Maybe we give an attempt at trying to assimilate, articulate, and regurgitate some form of awareness that we are currently having. Mm-hmm. And giving it a shot or being inspired to, like, a piece of music, right? It's like, what's a piece of music? Mm. You're being touched by something. Something's coming from somewhere, coming to you. You can say yes or no. You can assemble it in the feeling that you have. I actually described formulation in the way of music when I was formulating the orchestra of plants. Was very much from a musical perspective, from my point of view. Even though I have nothing, I don't do any music whatsoever, it's the what made the most sense to me, because that's its own majesty that we can't understand, but we can only attempt to arrange it in a way that maybe someone can get something from it.
Wow.
If we can express it in that way, if that proverbial one person is changed as a result, then that is the win. Because what is that one person then going to do and be and have and create and generate? Someone listening to it, their depression went away. Just even the act of saying, I'm going to listen to this, I'm going to watch this, I'm going to read this, is an invitation of that being going, okay, I am now open to receive something. So all of it's art. All of it. Even this intellectual reassemblage. Look at Andrew Huberman, right? He's just reassembling in a way that is articulating and hitting a pulse, even though he doesn't return my texts anymore because he's too busy. Anyway, just by us having these conversations, it starts to get me in touch with the real essence of why I do anything.
Wow.
And even putting a book together, as much as like, what's in your deodorant and what's in your shampoo and careful the electromagnetic fields. Well, all of it is just the illumination of this matrix that we are participating in that is not great for your biology and who knows what else, and is potentially inhibiting you to expressing yourself in the greatest way possible.
Ooh, that's a big one. That's a big one.
So to the degree at which someone can receive that, okay, I'm going to change my deodorant. Thanks, Darren. Oh, I'm going to look at my dental floss differently. Thanks, Darren. I'm going to eat a little more plants today as opposed to ultra-processed, subsidized food.
Yeah.
And then that's an enlightenment. That's a level of enlightenment that you're trying to share. And then they're assembling it in the best way that they can at that given time.
Yeah, I love that. We're constantly polishing our mirror of all the the crap, all the stuff that's blocking us from seeing our true selves, from seeing the world, the real world, instead of a filtered, dirty version of the world. And I love that you know, it's chipping away. These small things have a big effect, you know, tiny hinges swing big doors. On that point, I wanted to ask you directly, do you wear cologne?
I wear essential oil, lavender, rose. That's a gift for my body.
No, right? Gucci cologne, no Polo cologne.
Hell no. If they came to me and said, we will give you $10 million to wear this for the next year, I would say, absolutely never, no way. Because number one, I'm going to create money in a different way because I'm abundant, just like we all are. Number two, there's no way I would put that toxic garbage on my body. No chance in hell.
What does it do to the body when you wear it? What are you?
We don't even know all the chemicals because they don't.
Fragrances, yeah.
Yeah, the fragrances. And fragrances used to be natural, but now they're synthetic. We pretty much know that most of them when they're derived chemically in a lab mm-hmm. are thwarting our endocrine system. What does that mean? Your endocrine system is everything from your pituitary, pineal, thymus, thyroid, testes, ovaries, all of these glands that are involved in the regulation of this body system. And endocrine disrupting are masking, mimicking, changing the receptor points or mimicking estrogens in the body. So therefore, in some respects, the body perceives it has too much estrogen. And so that fights the same receptors of testosterone. So from a male's perspective, our testosterone plummets as a result. It thinks there's more estrogen. So we don't have that same kind of fire and strength and vigor. And we're seeing that in statistics throughout the population. From a women's perspective, we're seeing infertility rates go up. We're seeing endometriosis, all to smell good. So I'm like, let's smell good. Let's for sure smell good. Mm. First off, eat well, or else you create a rotting process from the inside out, right? And smell usually is a result of your sweat made up of some percentage of urea coming out of your sweat glands interacting with the microbiome of the skin. So now if your skin has been changed chemically with all kinds of lotions and things, your microbiome on the outside of your skin, which is extremely important to keep balance between keeping bacteria, MRSA, staph, all of that, which we're all swimming in. We all have it. But because of our microbiome, our skin microbiome, it keeps that out. But if you keep slathering this stuff on, it changes the chemistry. So now you've not only changed your barrier chemistry, now with your sweat interacting with a microbiome that's compromised, you smell.
Got it.
It's a cascade of incredible proportion. So now you smell and a commercial comes on and you're like, I gotta smell good. Now hook, line, and sinker. I'm now buying that product, right? So now I'm buying that product that further promotes you going the opposite way, right?
Digging yourself deeper.
But then you keep doing it because it keeps happening. And that's the perpetual cycle of even the genesis of the American Medical Association was built on a lie, built on germ theory. You catch this, we have a pill for it. You don't have much agency over your health. You catch some random virus, some bacteria, and we've got an injection for you. We've got a pill for you, as opposed to terrain theory. Terrain theory by Antoine Bekamp, who's an amazing biochemist in the early 1900s, was like, no, man, Louis Pasteur, you've got it all wrong. Terrain theory is if you take care of your environment, you make it inhospitable for the proliferation of imbalanced bacteria or virus. Makes common sense. So if I say, I'm going to eat fresh food, go out in sun, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to have a good attitude, I'm going to hang out with good people, you are inhospitable for disease. Because you are living in a way that has a terrain that thwarts and pushes away the environment that that bacteria or virus wants to survive. So when it comes to an environment that it knows it's not programmed for it to live in, similar to your Portugal experience, right? You go to Portugal, you have an idea, you go there, but there's a terrain about it that's not allowing you to live in the way that you want today. So now you're leaving. Exactly what happens with bacteria and virus. If you are living in a way that is healthy in a variety of different ways, then that environment keeps all of that balance. Now you could get stressed out one day, you could if you didn't sleep one day, your immune system can crash by 30%.
Mm.
And then you're open for any sort of thing. So, but that idea.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, that was like this whole rabbit hole about cologne. So I go all the way back to let's smell good, but let's use nature.
Mm.
Let's use the incredible organic smelling compounds of nature diffused in the essence of a rose, in the essence of a lavender. That's healthy promotion. That's parasympathetic dominant. That's healing for your body. And when you come into the rest of everyone's environment, it's not toxic for them. I cannot be around someone that has all this cologne on. It pushes me away.
Wow.
I have to leave because it's too volatile. But if I smell, if I spray essential oil, mist, or rose on, no one's run away from nature.
On this topic of scents and terrain and environment, one thing a lot of people put in their homes, scented candles.
Oh, man.
What are your thoughts on scented candles?
Not so good.
Okay.
Because it's usually a petroleum-based and some sort of parfum, some sort of fragrance that's a volatile organic compound. The medium at which the candle is not natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's from oil. So now you have a refined oil that is your basis of the candle. And then you probably have some sort of chemical derived smell. So now you've got a double, triple, quadruple whammy.
Wow.
Because all of those VOCs from not only the candle itself, let's say it was fragrance free, you're still getting the VOCs from the petroleum based candle. Now, am I saying don't burn a candle? No. Just buy a natural beeswax, unscented.
Okay.
Buy a diffuser.
Okay.
And put essential oils in it. And I love it, man. Nice diffuser. Make my own little concoction of essential oils. Light up my whole room. Right? So there's just ways of doing this thing that doesn't have to undermine our own health.
Let's go to food. Let's go back to food. Do you have beef with plant-based meat?
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah, beef. Yeah, I think it's not a good direction to go.
But you're plant-based.
Yeah.
Okay, but when it comes to like the plant-based burgers and, or not plant-based burgers, but like the Beyond.
My biggest thing, if we just start eliminating ultra-processed food, we'll be healthier. Whole food.
Okay.
Like, I'm never going to think that I can convert people to the way I'm eating. And I'm not taking that on. Other people want to take that on. I have no interest.
Tough. They fight you.
Yeah, they fight you. So I just go, how about we eliminate ultra-processed food? If we eliminate ultra-processed food, we'll infinitely be healthier.
Wow.
Without a doubt. And the data is mounting, showing that as well. Certainly for calorie, like I was saying before, whole food eating compared to calories of ultra processed food, you are gaining weight, you are creating degeneration, that is happening, LDL is going up, all these disease markers are going up, calorie for calorie, whole food versus ultra processed food. That's where I would start. And the problem is, it's an economic problem because of the subsidies. And this is where I don't want to get into politics, but I don't want to get into economics, but you can't help it.
Yeah.
Because the politics and the economics are what created these food deserts and these ultra-processed foods. And then the money of these you know, corporations have allowed for this lobbying to happen to where, like, okay, if you growing up in these areas where you don't have access to food and you go down the street and buy, you know, six hamburgers for $3. Well, what the hell choice do you have? So I'm not even, you can't blame the people.
Yeah.
And we've got to stop this blaming of people, because if it was a conscious choice, if it was 100% just your mind makeup, of course we would be changed. But it's not. It's an economic, political, and horrible food dynamic terrain situation, right? So we have chemists of 75 years working to make hyper palatable food to hijack the very centers that make you a human. And then the economic impossibility for those people to find whole food.
Yeah.
Because we also know that even processing an apple, if you liquefy a whole apple or just eat a regular apple, you will consume more calories. If you take a whole apple, throw it in the blender, and you make a slurry out of it, I'm not saying don't still do that because I still make smoothies and stuff too, but you will have a tendency of consuming more food when you are not eating it, chewing it.
Because the fiber?
No, this is fiber still in it.
Okay.
But it's how easily the body can consume those calories. Okay. So I can just swallow those calories a lot faster than I can chew those calories. And then so the way the other side of that is the hyper palatable engineered food, which is hijacking also your hormonal systems, your addiction centers. And so that's and now tell someone, stop eating that. They're not even there making that decision anymore. Wow. It's beyond that decision. And now on top of it, you've changed your entire microbiome because you've created a different terrain. You've been eating a certain way. So now your microbes are wanting that same food. And they're communicating through light, biophotonics, beyond cell communication, beyond electrical. They're saying, I need more of that ultra processed food because now most of that bad bacteria is taking up space because you're just the host. You have created an environment for the proliferation of unhealthy or not so balanced microbiome. So now it wants more of it of itself. So you've been hijacked chemically from the corporations. You've now then hijacked your own microbiome unbeknownst to you. It's impossible. Nearly impossible.
You're not even making the decisions anymore.
No. So we need an absolute change. And it, of course it can happen when you give yourself the time and back to community. Community around change is infinitely powerful. We cannot isolate ourselves. If you come together as a group and say, we are going to change and let's do this together, you will have infinitely better chance of making a change than just saying, I'm going to change. And then you fail again and you consume more and you fail again. And then you go into shame, blame, and you cycle down that. But if you get a community, even a small community, and you have accountability, this is what I'm eating today. Great. This is what I'm eating today. Good job. Good job. I worked out today. I walked today. Great job. Good way to go. What are you having for lunch? I'm having this. Great. How much water did you drink? Great. Way to go. Way to go. Blah, blah, blah. If you stay in community, I think that's a missing element in health today.
That's huge. That's huge. And that was actually my next question for you was, what are the big levers? What are three big levers that we can pull in order to kind of reverse the damage that these external forces are putting on us? One is community. What would two more be?
I think the obvious one is the elimination of ultra processed food, even if it's starting. Like, let's say maybe I'm consuming some weird Eggos or something in the morning, or cereal or something like that. Why don't we go to like nature's amazing fruit bowl with some nuts on it, or chia seeds or something, like fresh food. Getting, like, I was eating fresh plums off of my buddy's tree this morning.
Wow. And that's the best you can do. Dude,
I mean, my brain explodes. I'm like, I can't help but I start freaking out. And I've tasted some of the most amazing food in the world. But when you taste fresh food, there is something in the mammalian connection of our brain that has a perception that is infinitely greater than the ultra processed food.
Wow.
Because we're communicating in, like I said, there's up to 20,000 chemicals. And then we're smelling and tasting. And it's interesting, when we see fruit, and we smell fruit, that's the most primal food selectors that we have. Mm. So when we see it, smell it, if you follow that without processing, you will know exactly what to eat and how much to eat.
Wow.
But they've known that. So through tasting and smelling, they've hijacked those systems.
Yeah.
But if we leave all of that alone, we start smelling our food, we will know what to eat.
Wow.
So eliminate the processed food, hydration.
Mm.
We're all dehydrated.
Okay.
Right? So we have to increase, clean out the water, because the water is full of chemicals. The municipalities have cleaned water, but they haven't cleaned the chemicals out. They haven't cleaned the pesticides, the herbicides, the pharmaceuticals, the PFAS. They don't have the sophistication. Mm. So like I said, 50% of Americans plus are receiving PFAS in there. And all of us are receiving unwanted chemicals in our water. Mm. So filter that out, reverse osmosis, strip the water out, and then build it back up again. You can add electrolytes back in. You can get unrefined, clean crystal salt, sea salt, Himalayan salt, Shilajit. There's a great company, Mana Vitality. These guys are
I take Shilajit.
Yeah. So those are the plant, it's the plant mana. Right? I've recently got in touch with Mana Vitality, the owners there, and they've found some of the best minerals on the planet and working directly with the people. And so these kind of things. So, but remineralize electrolytes. Again, we are batteries and we need the conduction for cellular hydration. Hydrate, move your body, whole food, eliminate ultra processed food. And of course, I'm biased. Eat more fresh fruits, nuts, seeds, legumes, fresh plants. You're there.
Yeah.
You know, and eliminate the toxic exposure. And some from the fatal convenience standpoint, the things that you're doing from the inside out. So when you're opening your mouth up, the less exposure to processed anything, right? And then as you're moving from there, what are you putting on your skin? Mm-hmm. What are you wearing? What is the underwear you're wearing? Because again, those are petroleums, those are connected. Eliminate electromagnetic fields. These things are having stress responses in the body. It's a whole nother rabbit hole, but it's showing up all over in the data. So turn off Wi-Fi at night. Keep the phone away from your head.
Okay.
You know, these kinds of things. There's a lot you can do. Small changes added up over time. This is what health is.
I love that you're plant-based, because I know, man, people argue about food so much and diet and nutrition, and For me, I never had a dog in the fight. I was only interested in health. And, you know, I have a science background, so I'm able to read peer-reviewed journals and critically think and analyze. And yeah, I think it was Kim Williams, he was the president of the American College of Cardiology. You're either plant-based or you haven't read the research. And it's so true. I mean, the plant-based whole food diet, that's it. I think when there's people who've made these changes on whether it's carnivore or this and that, and the reason I think that they've found benefit is because they've eliminated a lot of the ultra-processed foods from the diet. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the optimum diet,
right?
But they've eliminated a lot of the toxins in their body, and they're eating. I have two rules about food. One, eat food that rots, and eat food with ingredients you can pronounce. That's it. that's a small change that can give big benefits.
100%. Yeah, if your burger doesn't rot after 2 years, it's
bad. Oh my God, I've seen those videos. 10 years, man, the McDonald's burger still looks like it did first day you got it.
Probably smells exactly.
Smells the fries too. Oh. But there's something in the fries. I haven't had McDonald's fries in maybe a decade, but I remember them tasting very good.
Yeah, with a huge amount of acrylamide.
That's it. That's
and that's sprinting you towards cancer.
Oh my God.
So if you want to race towards cancer, keep eating.
All right. So we got a few more minutes, and I wanted to ask you a question just for the women, the female audience listening, and maybe some male too. What should we know about the makeup industry, the beauty industry, the things that we're putting on our faces to beautify ourselves? As you say, the personal care products. We call them the personal care products, but they're not exactly caring for us at all, are they?
It's the opposite. It's a big one, man. And I'm so bummed for women in that. But there also is some great healthy choices being made. So like mascara and blush and lipstick. Like, so just straight up, if it doesn't want to wipe off,
okay,
then you're probably, you have some sort of PFOS, PFOS, Teflon derivative. So just don't use that. Because again, your lips, aside from the inside of your mouth, are the most sensitive and permeable places where you're going to receive. Plus, many of the makeups also, because of the colors, they're full of heavy metals.
Wow.
Right? To create color. But there's also great, you know, certainly some colors, like red lips, like there's some beet extract.
Okay.
Like are amazing.
Yeah.
Right? And they can last for a long time because they put their beets. And so there's some great, and Europe is infinitely ahead of us in this. And that's where you're like, you're going, why is this banned in the UK? And so a lot of heavy metals, lead, cobalt, copper, cadmium show up in a lot of makeup products. So you want to make sure that if you're choosing, I put a lot of choices in the book as well. The first thing that I would say is, I get it. You want to wear it, but just try to wear it less. And continue to find products that are healthier and healthier and healthier. That's the best advice I could give. But try, but listen, I have no idea what it's like to be a woman from that perspective, and the intensity around the looks and the shapes and the body outlook. Like I am sorry that society has put just such an insane view on all of that stuff. From my perspective, take care of yourself. Vibrancy, confidence, elegance, beauty of heart and loving, that is so attractive. And I do not mean light of this. I mean, it is infinitely beautiful. And then when you own that, your light shines through. And then, yeah, use less and less makeup. Yeah. But I honestly mean that. When women own their beauty and elegance and who they are, it is just, there's no amount of makeup that can that can make that light shine. So that's what I would say. Use less of it. Find the products, and because there's more and more that are coming online that are healthier and healthier. And if you have daughters, you know, have fun finding plants and make your own makeups, make your own blushes, make your use plants. You know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love that. Well said. All right, Darren, let's play a little rapid fire game before we get you out of here. This game I like to call the five best.
Five best. Okay.
Five best. Yeah. So what was the best investment you ever made?
Without hesitation, it's the investment in myself. Even though schooling was trying to make me into an employee that I saw a while ago, I was like, I never was going to fit into that. So I came out of college looking to start my own thing and to forge my own way from what I was excited about. I don't know where that came from. My dad was a college professor, so it wasn't like he was spurring entrepreneurship, but investing in myself, and I made way too many mistakes. And I mean that lightly. There's no too many, but I made a lot of mistakes, but I also infinite reward as a result.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Best book you ever read?
During kind of a spiritual awakening of times, I read Baird T. Spaulding, a series of books called The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of that one.
You're going to like that. I don't even know if it was true, but it felt like it was true to me that this guy, Baird T. Spaulding, is supposed to be nonfiction, that he went out in search of the highest enlightened people on the planet, and he found them. And so his journey was meeting these people that had the ability of shaping reality right in front of him and teaching him these deep teachings all throughout India and whatnot. And then, you know, close to that was like the work of Don Juan Matus and Carlos Castaneda and all of those things. So it was like that whole area was very powerful. I mean, I have so many great books, but that one, it just allowed me to have a grounded sense of magic in the world.
Love that. Love that. Best quote you ever heard?
I don't know if it's the best quote I've ever heard, but it's always been with me because it keeps the curiosity going. And that is Aristotle, one who is wise knows he knows nothing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think it's only true when you actually are willing to look at something and study something.
Yeah.
Because the more you look at it, the more you study something, the more you don't have any idea. Like, how the hell is that possible? Anyone listening, just look at the microbiome. Start reading the ridiculous interaction that microbes have in our existence. Like, it's beyond... It's science fiction. It's science fiction. So anything, even water, the mechanisms of water, the quantum entanglement that water has, both Newtonian physics and quantum reality, water expresses itself. And this is from some of the top researchers in water on the planet. The late, great Dr. Luc Montier won the Nobel Prize for discovering HIV, and I got to meet him in 2018 in Bulgaria. He couldn't help himself but to look at water because it was demonstrating principles in our face that was as if it was coming out of a science fiction book, because there were things like transferring DNA without even being just in close approximation. But the reading of DNA from water to water in two different vessels were like showing up as transferring the information, like weird science.
Wow. What's the research called? Or the research?
It was some research, Dr. Luc Montier, the French chemist that so he was way back. He had some crazy stories about Mr. Anthony Fauci too, by the way. Anyone who wants to dive into that rabbit hole.
Okay.
It's true though.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Think about it. He's the guy who discovered it.
Wow. Interesting.
Won the Nobel Prize.
That's a rabbit hole we can go into. Last one, and I know it's tough because you've studied so much of this, but best superfood.
It would be between two kings. It would be moringa.
Okay.
Again. And or raw living spirulina.
Okay.
Not dried.
Raw. I thought you were going to say durian. Raw living spirulina.
But then durian, if you're saying fruit, I'm choosing my king of fruits, right? But spirulina?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've always had the powder spirulina, but you say that's different from the raw living spirulina.
Frozen comes right to you.
Okay. Wow.
And if you can afford it, consume it. It's powerful.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the most nutrient dense. Between that and moringa, it's basically calorie for calorie. What are you getting? Not to mention, if you were going to choose a nut, I'm going to choose my Barukas, because calorie for calorie, it's the most nutrient dense nut in the world, and it just happens to taste the best.
Okay. Let's get into that one, because now so the way I eat, and I learned this from a few people, but it was the easiest thing for me to follow, and it was the whole process of G-bombs. I think it was Furman. G-bombs, you eat greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, seeds. So you try to eat this every day. It's so simple for me. It's just boom, this is it. This is the acronym. I like words. I like acronyms. Nuts and seeds, I love to eat them.
My favorite is the walnut. Looks like a brain. It's super potent, super powerful. But you, it was the Baruca nut?
Yeah, Baruca nut. Yeah.
Baruca nut.
Baruca's is our company.
Okay.
And this is a wild foraged food.
Okay.
So think about trying to scale a wild food, right? So it's in the wild of Savannah.
Huh.
In the Sahadu, it's called. And the savannah is the second largest savannah in the world next to Africa. And it's a landmass about the third of the United States, three states of Texas put together.
Wow.
This is a very powerful tree. So it's a tree nut that forms with a very light fruit layer on the outside with extremely hard, so one nut per fruit.
Mm.
And full amino acid spectrum, which is wild, has three times more antioxidants than any other nut we tested. The micronutrients, magnesium, manganese, copper, iron, the fiber is three times more than most nuts. And it tastes like a peanut without the mycotoxins and allergies and everything else. So it's directly connected to reforesting and supporting the indigenous people while the customer gets to benefit from the nutrients. Amazing. And the deliciousness of it. So yeah, that one I had to do everything I can. It's not easy. Not easy. It's been 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. Gosh, it's been since 2015.
Mm. Wow.
I have never yet pulled a dollar out of the company.
Mm.
So it's just work.
Wow.
Trying to, how do we do this? How do we scale? And I think we're in a great position now.
Huh.
But
how do you get some? I want to try some of these.
Yeah, well, I got some for you.
Got some here? Okay.
People can get it online, barucas.com, but okay. I definitely didn't come empty-handed for you. Yeah.
I have a joke. I say all men should soak their nuts and women.
Hello.
Tell me about this process of sprouting.
You have to consume it toasted.
Mm, okay.
Because so indigenously, how they learned was when the fruit dropped, you can't pick it early. Nature protected it. The nut actually does not develop until the very end.
Mm.
And so once it's ripe inside, it drops. Then you can pick it up. And what they did indigenously, they would put all these, we call them fruit, because it's the fruit in the with the shell and the seed inside, and they would put it around a fire, the embers of a fire, and in the morning, they'd be toasted inside. All of our testing is done after roasting. Mm. So it deactivates any of the anti-nutrients and allows them, they figured that out indigenously, that then you can then consume this highly nutritious nut.
Mm.
And so we follow that same process.
Mm.
We're the only HACCP certified company with this nut in Brazil.
Mm.
So we've created all the infrastructure and all of the transparency and traceability, and we got tested by a Swiss company, a third party, who rated us as one of the highest regenerative businesses.
Wow.
That they've seen.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So my last question for you, Darren, before we get out of here, and I want to, first of all, what you said is amazing. I think I just found my favorite nut. But my question is a question I ask all the guests. It's the magic wand question.
Mm.
And that is, if I gave you a magic wand to wave at the world, make a wish, wave at the world, and tomorrow when you woke up in Malibu, this magic wand wish would be granted, what would your magic wand wish be for the world?
I mean, obviously, the first thing I think of is love. I think of, if we looked at ourselves and our children the way we can look at everyone as humanity, as wanting, truly wanting the best for all of us, everyone, not just in the country, everyone in humanity. I see failures every day. I see the UN having their goals that they've never reached. I've met billions of people. There's billions of people on the planet. I've met hundreds, if not thousands, of people that don't have access to water, clean water, food, shelter. It's a failure of humanity. So if I wake up and everyone truly cares and gets over themselves and works to support each other, that's a different world.
Yeah. Beautiful. Darren, where can people find your book, Fatal Conveniences? Where can people follow you, your work? What's going on?
Yeah, so darrenoline.com, all the things going on, anywhere you buy books. It's an Audible book as well, Fatal Conveniences, and, you know, Darren O'Lean social, and you know, in the coming year, there's probably some more TV shows that are... There may or may not be some TV shows in process.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Awesome. Well, you are a tremendous human being. Thank you for being on Sauna Sessions. You have given us so much value. And I definitely suggest everybody listening to follow you, check out your books, your products, because you are one of the few people, I think, that really walk the talk. And your heart's in it. Like, I can tell just from sitting here with you that your heart is really in the right place. Thank you, Darren, for being on Sauna Sessions.
It means a lot, brother. I appreciate it.